Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3, starting from verse 13 to 15, as we are going scripture by scripture. 1 John 3, 13 to 15. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. I'm going to take this portion of scripture and give you the message, which is called, whoever who hates his brother is a murderer. That's a pretty strong statement there. So we need to expose what it says here in the light of scripture. And remember, we are continuing this, okay? This goes in context. Remember, verse 12 talks about Cain and Abel. And remember, we saw previously how John used the story of Cain and Abel. And Cain is of the world. He is of Satan, and Abel is of God. So Cain, we saw how he hated his brother. And what happened, that hate developed into being a murderer. And John goes on to say, beloved, do not be surprised. Do marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. And we saw from the very beginning that Genesis 3:15 is so pivotal to this. The two seeds that's going to come, the seed that is going to come, that is Christ who is going to come, and the seed of the serpent. The seed of the believers and the seed of the unbelievers, these two seeds are always going to be at enmity with each other. It's going to be war with each other. It's going to be against each other. There is not friendliness, but there is hatred toward each other. And this has been going from the very beginning, from the book of Genesis all the way through to the end of the world. And we see even how Christians in the Old Testament, the true Christians, they were persecuted. The prophets were killed. And also we see one of the seeds, you know, will come. They say that they are Christians, of course. And Cain even gave his gift to the Lord, his offering to the Lord. He became even religious there. So you see some people who look very religious, just like the time of Jesus, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they look religious. And we see people who are very religious outwardly, but inwardly, they don't know Christ in reality. Inwardly, they don't have a relationship with Christ. So you can have all your religious outwardness, but if you don't know Christ, if Christ is not there, and if you don't have a relationship with Christ, you're lost. And truly, you don't want to hear the conviction of the Bible. You want to hear something that you like to hear. And we saw this. And one of the things is, of course, Jesus himself said in John chapter 15, verse 18. If you turn with me to John 15:18, all hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And here we see, if the world hated you, just a reminder, the world hated the Lord first. And we know how it hated the Lord first. From the very beginning of his ministry, the two seeds that is going to come at enmity with each other. And so if the world is going to hate you, it's because you're a true Christian. Only a true Christian, that is a professing Christian, there will be hatred. But if you are not a true, you're a Christian, but there is no way that anybody can identify you as a Christian, there's no fruits in you, the world would love to have you and as a religious person. So if the world hates you, blessed are those who are persecuted, but they shall be comforted. So if you are going through persecution, it's a blessing. It's a great blessing, because the Lord was persecuted and we go through the same persecution. Now, if you are a young Christian, you know, young Christian who just came from darkness to the light of Christ, and you're so excited, just like the Israelites came out of the, you know, from Pharaoh's hand, and how the Lord opened the Dead Sea, and as soon as they were delivered, they sang that song. So that if you're a young Christian, the Lord put a new song in your heart, right? And you are excited for the Lord, but suddenly, see, persecution coming. So, you know, when that comes, marvel not, don't be surprised. It's natural for a Christian. It's, for a Christian, it's one of our, you know, it's an occupational hazard that's like that, you know. So it's don't take it as strange. Because some of your worldly friends, you had company with you, they don't want, they see a change in you, and they don't like you. And they will come against you. Why? They will insult at you, they will hate you, they will persecute you. And as Christian, we need to go through that persecution, and we need to see whom are we going to love. Are we going to love the Lord, the Word of God, or are we going to compromise with the Word of God? So that's where we are, and we need to go through that persecution. It's good to be persecuted because it makes us more stronger in the Lord. We trust in Him. It's a refining process. It's just like gold being refined through the fire. We need to be refined so in that we will be good for sanctification process. So John is telling here, do not be surprised, you know. And if that happened to Abel from his own brother Cain, who hated and killed him, and it can happen even within the church sometimes, even within your own family, it can happen. Because Satan is called the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. You don't have to turn with me. Satan is called the 2 Corinthians 4:4. Okay. And also Ephesians chapter 2:2, he's called the prince and the power of the air. You can write it down, or you can turn it quick. Alright, now let's go to verse 14. Now it says that 1 John chapter 3 verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Here we see the true Christian is, he is passed from death to life. We are not talking of a physical death and suddenly a person who died became alive. We are talking of a spiritual death here. Now, from death to life, think about it. From death to life. I mean, it is totally opposite of each other. Either you are dead or you are alive. Right? So here we see from darkness to the light of Christ, from death to life. So there is a transition here. From death to life, there is a transition. Because, why does it say from death to life? Because we were separated from God before. There's a separation here. From death and life, there's a separation. The separation is we were separated from God. Why? Because of our sins. We were alienated because of our sins. But now we are believers through Christ Jesus. So here is Christ Jesus. He's the one who brought us. The power of the Holy Spirit came upon. Okay? Holy Spirit regenerated us. Or Holy Spirit brought us from that darkness to the light of Christ. So coming from death to life is a symbol of regeneration. Meaning you're born again. Meaning you're a changed person. You're dead, now you're alive. Spiritually. Okay? But now we are alive in Christ. If you came from death to life, you're alive in Christ, not on yourself or suddenly you have some spiritual thing through yoga or whatever like that. No, you're in Christ alive. Nothing else, no other religion, only in Christ. So we were blinded to the world before, but now we see. So the unspiritual man cannot understand. He cannot understand the word of God. It's kind of foolishness, the cross. But now we understand and we can see. And so what is the evidence of being born again? What is the evidence that you're a true Christian? Verse 14 says, because we love the brethren. See, very clearly, we know that we have passed from death unto life. That is talking about regeneration. Because we love the brethren. That's one of the fruits of born again, regeneration. And that's so important. Is this meant that now we are born again, we are to love only our brothers and sisters? What about the other people in the world? Huh? Didn't Jesus say, love your enemies? Didn't Jesus say, love your neighbor as you love yourself? Yes. There is the general law of the Bible is to show love to all mankind. Remember how the Jews persecuted Apostle Paul, and they hated Paul. And what did Paul say? Did Paul hate them? Paul said, if you turn with me to Romans chapter 10:1, this is what he said. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Paul did not hate them. Paul prayed for them. So here is a good, what Jesus said, love your enemies. We need to pray for our enemies. If the enemy is hungry, feed them. And so this is a general commandment what is given in the Bible. So what is the difference between loving our brothers in Christ and loving our enemies or anybody else outside of the church? Loving our brothers and sisters in Christ, this is a peculiar love. It is the love that God, it is the love of God. It is the love of God that how He justified us, how He sanctified us when we were enemies of God. It is the love of God that brought us into the fellowship. Because we know that there is only one head, and that is Christ Jesus. There's only one body, that's the true believers. There's this, within this body, there's a unique love. It's the kind of love that Father has with His Son. It's the love, it's the kind of love that the believers have with the Son, with Christ. And now, we can have that love to the Father through the Son. It's a relationship kind of love. It's a different kind of, it's a unique love. Now, of course, there are false doctrines going on and so forth like that. So if there's anything that false doctrines going on, and you know, we need to expose this doctrine. We cannot say I'm going to agree with everybody and love everybody in a sense. We need to expose that those doctrines. So here John is talking of the true believers in the church, not the false Christians. We will go through them as we go along. Okay? Now, if you do not truly love your brother, again, if you go to 1 John, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life. Right? So, if you do not truly love your brother, then you are dead in sin. Right? Because the result of regeneration is what? From coming from death to life. So if you cannot truly love our brothers and sisters, then you are still in where? In darkness. What do you mean in darkness? You're not really regenerated. You're not really born again. So, we may have all the head knowledge. We may have an intellectual salvation. But it is not the true salvation. Then John goes on to say, he who does not love his brother abides in death. That's what we saw. Verse 15 says, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Now, he gets a little deeper here now. You see how he goes one by one, little by little. He's trying to expose and shows that how
how evil that is. The word hatred means what? Just disliking somebody. Sometimes it's a dislike that you don't like him. You have an intense dislike to a person. Somebody that greatly you detest, that person in the church. So, if you don't love a brother, that means you hate him. And if you hate him, that means you're a murderer. That's what he says here. This is a pretty strong scripture. Do you remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, right? And you have already committed adultery. Then he went on to say in Matthew chapter 5 verse 21, so if you turn to Matthew 5:21, heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be in danger of judgment. So we are saying here, wow, you know, it's the murderers, you know, we see somebody who has really murdered somebody. And Jesus goes to the heart. He goes to the motive. A lot of times we see somebody has sinned only when we see the result of sin. But God says when it's in your heart, he sees already. And here Jesus said, Matthew 5, then he goes on to say, verse 22, but I say to you, whoever who is angry with his brother, see that? Without a cause shall be in danger of judgment, and whoever says to his brother, Reka, shall be in danger of the council, but whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell. Now, that's pretty strong. And we see here the anger, the malice, and the hatred. Now, this is a violation of the Ten Commandments. Tell me what it is. Actually, it's a violation of the Sixth Commandment. Thou shalt not murder. Jesus exposed that more. Not only thou shalt not murder, you see the action, but even if you get angry with your brother, you have hatred towards your brother, and then you're a murderer. That's what Jesus is saying. He's exposing the Ten Commandments. So if you have something against your Christian brother or your sister, and you hate that person, you dislike him, then something evil happened to that person, you say, I'm glad that it happened to him. You say that? You have some people who are, you know, whom you dislike, and something happens to them, do you say, I'm really, you know, there are Christians who say, wow, I'm glad that it happened to him. He deserved it. Now, if you have that kind of attitude, you're not truly following the word of God. You're not truly a Christian. You really hate that person. Now, in reality, you can go even further and say you're a murderer. So you may have this intellectual righteousness about God, but in reality, you're not righteous with God. You may say, I'm a believer. I know the Bible cover to cover. But I don't like some Christians. I don't like some people in the church. You know, if you have something that you don't like in your brother, we need to reconcile with your brother or a sister immediately. Don't run away from him. Then accuse him later. And, you know, write malicious email. Put things on a website. This is not Christianity. Right? Look what Jesus said. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. He's talking on the same context on hatred here, by the way. Verse 23, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you. What does he say? Verse 24, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. What Jesus is saying here is, You can come with your prayer needs, with your gifts, your sacrifices to God, and do your prayer and thinking that God is going to see, you know, answer your prayer. And then you have this hatred towards somebody in the body, in the church. Jesus said, well, you got to take care of business first. You got to take care of your brother reconciliation first before you come and speak to me. You don't speak to your brother, I'm not going to listen to you. That's basically what he's saying here. You first reconcile with your brother, then I will speak to you. John Gill said on this, that transgressions which are between a man and God, the day of atonement expiates. The transgressions which are between a man and his neighbor, the day of atonement does not expiate until he has reconciled with his neighbor. So if you don't have reconciliation fast, immediately, you are sinning against God because you are disobedient to the word of God. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 11. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. So we got to do that very speedily, otherwise it's going to get even worse. We got to execute that speedily. If there's a problem, we need to come together quick. Reconciliation has to be done soon. Now, we need to obey the word of God. We need to obey the Lord's commandments. If you don't obey God's commandments, then really we don't love God. We don't love Jesus, because Jesus said in John chapter 15 verse 10, John 15:10, Jesus said, my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abiding his love. So we need to keep his commandments. We need to keep his word. We need to do what he says. And sometimes we don't want to. We want to do our own will. You know, we don't want to go and talk to somebody else that we have this grudge, because, you know, we take from the world's perspective and say, you know what? I don't want to talk. I know I don't feel like talking. It's going to be very unpleasant. The devil can put all these things, but you know what? The most important thing is to obey God's word. You truly love it. Trust in the Lord. We got, as Christians, we need to live by faith daily. Trusting in his God's word, not going according to our own feelings and our own emotions. It can just take you wild, can take you everywhere, and at the end, you're the one who is going to, it will come back at you. Whatever you sow to evil, you know, you will reap evil. So it will come back at you later on. Then you will remember, oh, I wish I did this. And so it's so important. So hatred is detestable before God. And it is because one day we had to give an account to God. So it is detestable because God sees our heart, sees our mind and our motives. Remember, Joseph's brothers, they hated him, huh? They hated him. And we saw the story at the very beginning when Chris was reading the scriptures, and the hatred, that hatred, even it went even further, and they wanted to kill their own brothers. Now, the true born again Christians, they understand the true love, how we need to love our brothers. We understand the true love, we understand the perfect love. That true love and the perfect love is only being seen through the cross of Christ Jesus. Our teacher Christ did not only teach about love, but he set an example. He demonstrated his love for the believer on the cross. Now let me give you a good scripture. Alright? Now remember, we are telling here that we are talking about hatred. We are talking about like enemies, like. Alright? Now, keeping that in mind, turn with me to Romans chapter 5 verse 10. From verse 8. Let's see the demonstration first here. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the greatest demonstration of love. Then verse 9. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall save from the wrath through Him. See verse 10. For if now, when we were enemies, is that? We were enemies of God. We were not friendly with God because we were just doing the opposite thing of God. We may say, I love God in mouth, but we were just doing the opposite thing. So we were enemies of God. So we were enemies of God. We had a hatred towards God. Then what happened? We were reconciled. See that again? Reconciliation is so important here. Reconciliation is so important. We were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved. That means His Son has to do a sacrifice for reconciliation. That means if somebody hates you, okay, that's a grudge, that's your enemy, a person, you had to make a sacrifice and be reconciled right away without any time being wasted. Now, what happened was, when you're reconciled, what happens? There's going to be peace, right? And peace, that's what exactly Romans 5:1 says. Now we have peace with God because of their reconciliation. Now, so Christ, He's our perfect example. His righteousness was imputed to us, being charged to us, to the believer. So, we know that in truly believe this in a theological sense, but we need to practice this. As John Calvin said, we transfer the love of ourselves to our brethren now. You know what I mean? Christ, He transferred it because of His holiness, His righteousness that is imputed to us. We have the same Holy Spirit now. Now we should transfer that love, those things, what Christ did, His love, His demonstration to our own brethren. Now listen to what John Calvin said on this subject a little bit. He said, Apostle recommends to us to imitate Him. For though we do not overtake Him, it is yet meet that we should follow His steps, though at a distance. Doubtless, since it was the Apostle's object to beat down the vain boastings of hypocrites, who glorified that they had faith in Christ, though without brotherly love. He intimated them by this word, that except this feeling prevails in our hearts, we have no connection with Christ. So what he's really talking is, if you can boast of all your faith and so forth like that, but if you're not having that brotherly love, you have no connection with Christ. And Jesus said, in John chapter 15 verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And we are going to see this more next week as we go down the other scriptures. Now, I was thinking about this subject, what are some of the things that we hate somebody? Some of the practical things when it comes to our mind. What are the things that we dislike somebody, we hate somebody? One of the things is jealousy. Okay? One of the things is jealousy. And we see this, what happened with Cain and Abel. We see what happened to Joseph, how his brothers had jealous. Jealousy, it comes here within the church. This is more like a sort of competition, like a rivalry going on. A lot of times it happens within the church, between the leaders, pastors, they have some kind of rivalry with another person. Problems in the church. Therefore, the pastors, they can get into the flesh and dislike the other pastor because somebody is doing something, because of the rivalry, competition, and jealousy, and so forth like that, you can get into the flesh. So the person also, the person who says, I like so-and-so's preaching, than the But I don't like this person's preaching. He's also a very weak Christian. They should not say that. Remember, Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 12, he said, 1 Corinthians 1:12, say this, that each of you say, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, for I am of Christ. Paul says, is Christ divided? So here we see here, Paul says, is Christ divided? Here, both pastors, the leaders or the pastors, they both want to glorify Christ. And they are doing their best to glorify Christ. So do not glorify a pastor. Glorify Christ. That's the most important thing. Now, the other issue could be because of doctrine. Okay? There could be some hatred, some divisions, and you can develop into some... you can detest a person because of doctrine. And Now, this is a very broad subject. When I say doctrine, it's a very broad subject. But let me get into the meat of the matter. Let me go directly to the subject, what we are talking here. If we believe that we are saved by Christ, what Christ did on the cross alone, without any works, then of course, that person is truly saved, because he also believes that Christ is God who came in flesh, believes in his virgin birth, his bodily resurrection. If you believe in these things, then that person is truly saved. But the problem happens in the church, there are non-essential issues, it means non-salvational issues. We come and agree and disagree agreeably. These are not the major issues, these are the minors. But a lot of times, people can major in the minors. And that's a very dangerous thing. When you major in the minors, you can have all kinds of divisions and so forth like that. But if somebody is preaching, kind of goes aligned with the Word of God, and you think it doesn't go with the Word of God, if something's wrong here, pastors are not perfect. Nobody is perfect. They can get into their emotions and go a little bit further. So in that way, you need to come to him. And you need to, rebuke him in love. You need to expose that. And if they are not going to listen, that's what the Bible says, that you go to him personally and tell him this is what you think. But if he's not going to listen, then you bring another brother. If he's not going to listen, then you need to tell the church. So the most important thing is that if you're fellowshipping in a body, and if the pastor says, something that you don't agree, don't run away suddenly and then accuse the pastor through emails and all these things. That's not right. And we need to go to him personally. Remember Paul, when Peter was not going aligned with the truth of the gospel, what did Paul do in the book of Galatians? He rebuked Peter personally. And did Peter later on go and tell, I hate Paul, He didn't say that. So open rebuke is better than hidden love. If you don't do that, then hatred will develop. And it's like a cancer, it will grow. And it becomes very dangerous. Another thing is probably the personality. Some people don't like another person because I don't like the way that person is. Let me tell you, there are all different personalities in the church. There are all kinds of colors in the church. And all kinds of personalities in the church. But Paul, remember, the book of Corinthians, how Paul compares the body of Christ to our own body. And he goes on to say, the body is not an eye. it has the hand, the nose, and everything looks different. So he compares these two for us to teach a lesson here. However, if somebody is in sin and continuing in sin, then that has nothing to do with their personality. If somebody is always gossiping, if somebody is always greedy, worriness, gossiping, then you cannot say, that's my personality. You understand what I'm saying? That's the sin. That has nothing to do with your personality. Okay? So again, it's so important if we see this, it is better to rebuke, it's better to tell that person what is wrong, rather than it's getting infected little by little, and at the end, I'll tell you, it's like a cancer. It's better to take care of that immediately, but if it gets older, the cancer is too late. It's harder for you to take it out. And if you turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 5, to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. Let me ask a question for the married couples. Have you ever told your spouse, I hate you? Well, remember, Cain and Abel, it happened in the family. The closest neighbor, Christ tells to love your neighbor as yourself. Who is your closest neighbor? Your spouse. If you say you hate your brother or a sister, then you're a murderer. So, you know, remember, you husbands and wives, you need to build up one another spiritually. You need to pray for your spouse. You need to rebuke if they are doing right. It's the same principle that goes along. If they are doing something not right, something wrong, you got to rebuke right then and there. Remember what happened in the garden? Adam and Eve. Eve is the one who took the authority over Adam. Did Adam rebuke? Oh, I didn't want to get into a fight. You know, I don't, with Eve. And he kind of kept quiet and he just listened to the woman. See what a mess got into. It's the same thing. Got to rebuke right then and there. A lot of times you say, I don't want to get into a fight, you know, you might get mad at me. I'll tell you, if you have a cancer, it's better to tell and take it out rather than let it grow. Because later on, it's going to have problems. So here, the home that is built on the rock of Jesus is going to be a strong church. Let me close with this. John chapter 17, verse 14. And I have given them your word. Here we got the word now. We have the word. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. My brethren, we have the word here. The word is very clear. It is given to you. It is there for you. And I'll tell you, it is there. So it's so important that we need to take the word. And if the world has hated you because they are not of the world, hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So we are not of the world. And if the word is here, and it's so important that we need to take this to our heart. So important that what we take, we need to practice. Don't go according to your emotion. So easy to get into that. We need to live in the Spirit. And if you're living in the Spirit, you're satisfying God. If you're living in the Spirit. So don't get into emotions, your feelings, what you think. Just follow what He says. What the Word of God says, by faith. If everything by faith, because we cannot please God without faith. So it's through the Word of God, and God will honor you. You may go through some difficult times, I'll tell you, everybody goes through. It's good for us. God disciplines whom He loves because He wants to discipline as a good son. He's preparing us a place that is heaven. Before we go to heaven, He has to make us strong. He has to sanctify us. Right? So that sanctification is so important here. Let's pray. Father, oh Lord, how we have sinned on these scriptures, Lord. How we have got into our flesh so many times, Lord. Oh Father, forgive us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for exposing the scriptures and delivering them to us so that we can see how we stand before you and with our brothers and sisters, Lord. Oh Lord, we are evil, Lord. A lot of times this flesh doesn't want to do what it says, Lord. But we pray, Lord, that you would give us the grace, Lord, and we can crucify these desires and these hatreds, these jealousies, everything that is coming in the flesh, Lord, that nevertheless not us, but you would live through us, Lord. Oh, Father, we pray, Lord, that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, Lord, that we can truly be walking in your ways, and that we can love our brothers and our sisters, that we can exalt you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.